Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, October 13th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Check it out at a Best Buy near you or visit slingbox.com/twit. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar.
And I'm Jason Howell.
This is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day and try to make sense of it all. Getting a late start today because Ayaz had a power outage. And so if you're watching the video, you won't see a picture of him. You'll see a picture of him. You won't see his video.
That's right.
But thanks for filling in for Becky, who's out today and tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime I can bring my horrible curse with me, it's a good thing. I know I messed up the intro myself, and I'm good to go.
Well, the best thing is we get to try it again tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow I expect my house to be on fire. So.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not as
well. Knock on wood. Bing and Facebook announced a partnership today. Bing hasn't really been in the habit of webcasting these things, but Facebook did, so we got to take a look at it. And there's a great analysis of it by Danny Sullivan over at Search Engine Land. He got a chance to play with it. Essentially, what's going on here is Facebook-like results are going to be fed into your Bing search results if you're signed into Bing and you've authorized Facebook.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty interesting idea. It sort of reminded me originally of the real-time results that Google had, but this is actually just sticking to your circle of friends, assuming that they liked similar topics. I mean, I looked at a couple searches myself, and nobody is searching for the same stuff I am.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? It's not using the like button to aggregate search results and rank them in Bing, which would be, I think, more useful. What it's doing is saying, we're going to give you a little subsection that says, hey, you searched on zombies. Well, these folks that are in your circle of friends on Facebook have liked these pages that are about zombies. So you may end, the theory is you'd end up with some pages that might not show up in Bing results that are more relevant to you because they're recommended by friends.
Well, I mean, I could see this becoming a thing where you could change the settings. Maybe eventually it'll be more customizable. Because right now, it's, like you're saying, it's stuck to that one section. I just think this is the beginning because they seem to really rev things up a lot at Microsoft. And Facebook, you know, is quite nimble. So this could probably be different before we know it.
Yeah. I think that was the point Danny Sullivan made at Search Engine Land, is this is just the first baby step in what could become something really cool. So right now, it's not that impressive. And if you use it, I don't think it's going to be that useful. But I guess it's a way of testing out partnership and starting to integrate data in a way that only Facebook can. The other point is, though, there's no reason Google couldn't do this in the future. It's not in Facebook's interest to shut them out. If Google was willing to pay for this kind of service, Facebook should allow them to do that. It should allow any search engine to do that. So I know Bing wants to be on board first because they, frankly, need the boost, right? They need to have something that Google doesn't, and this is a pretty big thing that Google doesn't have.
I guess it depends on the contract they have between Facebook and Bing. I mean, if Microsoft shelled out some serious money, because I know Microsoft actually has money in Facebook already.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe Google will have this later on, but maybe it'll be something like the way the Xbox got Netflix first. Like, there might be an exclusivity deal here, and we'll see what happens.
Facebook all over the news today, of course. They also introduced comment voting. You can sort of Roman Emperor comments on any website that is using the Facebook commenting plugin. So this isn't comments in your news stream, right?
No, this is the plugin, and then you can actually see this working at the Facebook blog. It's kind of Reddit sort of dig style. So if you actually have threaded comments, which is kind of neat. And if you like something, I think it automatically upvotes it. You tried it out. How did it work out?
Yeah, it has an up and a down vote, so that's pretty easy, right? I can vote it up or down. It's a like or supposedly a dislike, although it doesn't use that terminology. The like link is still there, and if you click that, it automatically sends it up. So the up button and the like button seem to be exactly the same.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were joking around, if you could actually like something and vote it down at the same time, can you just give your friends mixed messages or not?
No, you couldn't.
So I guess that's kind of a neat thing. And not to derail the show, but I think my connection is actually working on my cameras and things.
Uh-huh. I've heard that one before.
Wolf, I say.
Before we move off of this story, though, and please, you know, anything that doesn't interrupt the current connection, I'm willing to encourage you to play with. But I want to keep rolling here because we have to get done for the Steve Wozniak interview.
That's right.
That's coming
up in
less than an hour. But one thing I wanted to point out: once you upvoted or downvoted a comment, there doesn't appear to be a way to take it back. Because I downvoted some poor guy's comment just as a test, and then I couldn't figure out how to undo it. Maybe there's something there that I'm missing. But
yeah, you should apologize to George right now on the air.
I apologize, George. Facebook also offering temporary logins. So what you do is you text the word OTP to 32665. Oh, you need to turn, sir. You need to turn down your radio if you're going to call into the show.
I'm trying to make sure to hijack this as much as possible.
Text the words OTP to 32665, and they'll send a temporary password that expires in 20 minutes. Now, what you may be like, well, what good is this for? If you're on somebody else's computer, or you're on a public computer, like in a library, and you want to log into Facebook, but you're worried that there might be some infection on that computer, maybe a keylogger or something, you use the temporary password. It allows you to log in and use Facebook, but nobody can get your password because the password they send you expires. Now, the bad part of this would be if somebody got your phone, I guess.
Well, I still think this is a little strange. I mean, why would you need to, would you need to move from your phone to another device? Why not just stick to your phone when you're going to get this text message? Why not just continue to go on your safe device because it's right in your hands?
Well, because it's a phone. It's small. It's tiny.
Yeah, sometimes you want the ability to kind of spread out a little bit and do something quickly versus trying to phone.
Maybe you're using your email and you need to cut and paste, and it's really hard on the phone. It's much easier on a computer.
Maybe. But I mean,
watching video.
I guess that could be done. I don't see the big deal in this. I know that you can still use your regular password. So just because you get this temp password doesn't mean like it resets your old one. It means that you can still use your old one. If you're just not even thinking about it and you forgot you already have this, well, then how secure is that?
What are you saying? If you forgot?
Okay, so like you put it into the text message, right? And they give you a new password for 20 minutes. But that's not your only password, right?
Right.
You can still use your old one.
Yeah.
So if for some reason you forget to actually input the one that you just got on your phone, you can still be caught with keyloggers.
Well, yes, but that's true of any stupidity is never, if you forget, then.
Well, then why are you, if we're talking about stupid people, then why are we talking about, I'm going to use somebody's possibly unsecure system?
I don't know if that's a real objection, though. I mean, seriously, if you just had a password texted to you, you're going to forget within the 2 seconds that you had it texted.
Hey, something could happen. I got a crib back there. If a kid cries, I might forget.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I think a bigger one is you have to give your phone number to Facebook, and I'm not sure I trust them with that.
Oh, why? They already know everything about you, and it would help with your Bing results, don't you think?
No, you're right, actually. Facebook only has my best interests at heart.
Of course.
Finally, in finishing up our Facebook palooza, a study from Chadwick Martin Bailey found that 3/4 of web users are likely to share content with friends and family, but nearly half do so at least once a week. However, email still beats Facebook and Twitter as the most popular way to share content. For most people, although the exception is if you're between the ages of 18 and 24, you're more likely to use Facebook to share content.
Isn't that like the super key demographic that every advertiser wants is the 18 to 24 anyway?
Yeah. 18 to 35, 18 to 34, yeah.
And I got stuck on these statistics. I don't want to get us too derailed any further again. But like it seems like if you're over 65, you're actually going to print stuff out to share it. Or 17% of those polled over 65 will mail what they found on the internet to another person. And because there's a discrepancy, apparently people are handwriting notes and sending.
Wait a minute. They're learning things and then passing along the information.
Dearest Dora,
writing of
I have discovered an amazing new website. Here is the URL, HTTP. It may not be that. It may actually be they print it out and mail it doesn't count as printed out. Maybe print out means I print it out and I hand it to the person, whereas mail means I print it out and send it through the postal system. Although if you're above 65, 17% of people mail content that they share from the web, from the internet.
That's not email. It's actual snail mail.
Yeah, and it's not newspaper clippings. It's stuff from the web.
Even more surprising, though, 24% of those over 65 were using Facebook. I mean, that shows you how impressive Facebook is if even the senior citizens are on this thing. A quarter
of them. Oh, you ageist.
I am an ageist. Clearly. I will never get old.
Yes.
I'll never get my comeuppance. No comeuppance for me.
It'll be you someday, Akhtar. All right, let's take a break. Thank our sponsor, Slingbox, for helping to bring tech news today to you today. Slingbox lets you watch your TV from anywhere you are. I'm going to be using it to watch BlizzCon because I'm going to be here covering it, but I can keep an eye on it because I paid for the BlizzCon subscription on DirecTV and use Slingbox so I can watch it up here, even though we don't got DirecTV here. It's pretty awesome. All your TV, anywhere you go, you can watch it on your computer. You can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on your BlackBerry, your laptop. You go to Best Buy, you buy a Slingbox, you hook it up to your TV, hook it up to your internet, and then you're able to access it from the programs that you install elsewhere. Check it out. If you'd like to see a demonstration of it, you can just walk into a Best Buy. They'll show it off to you. Or if you want to learn more about it on the World Wide Web, maybe you'd like to print out the things and mail it off to your daughter or your granddaughter. You go to slingbox.com/twit. You don't want to print it out. You just want to go there and look at it. But it's a cool thing. So check it out, slingbox.com/twit, and get your TV anywhere you go. If you travel a lot, this is a great thing. Windows Phone 7 will sync select content with Macs. Microsoft has confirmed that later in 2010, they will make a public beta available that allows Windows Phone 7 to sync select content with OS X computers, Mac computers. However, Engadget spied a little tweet from OD Dran, a Microsoft employee, that said, "I'm glad to confirm that Mac users will be able to use Zune on their Macs to sync with Windows Phone 7. Details soon," which was quickly deleted.
Don't, I mean, they could also spin that if they really wanted to, even though they deleted it, so it looks really suspicious. But Zune is still an application within Windows Phone 7, excuse me. And the select data could simply be like right now you get contacts and your calendar, but later on with the software update, you'll get the Zune. So, I mean, maybe he just jumped the gun.
Yeah. Microsoft's Oded Ran is the person who did this. I think they are internally talking about Zune software for the Mac, but then they probably haven't finalized what's actually going to be in there and whether they want to brand it that way, because I bet it's simplified. I bet it doesn't do all the things that the Zune software does on Windows. And so they're thinking about calling it something else. Like they did, remember Entourage, right? Entourage is the email version of Microsoft Office on the Mac because it's not the same as Outlook. So they changed the name of it because it was a different program. They may be thinking about that here. They may be saying, you know what? We don't want to call it. We don't want to associate this piece of software with the Zune brand after all. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. They probably haven't made the decision is my point.
Maybe they'll just call it like Zune E, like the way that the European Union made them change their name for Windows when they took out Internet Explorer or something. Because I don't know if they want to go through the whole hassle of rebranding Zune after the amount of money they put into this. I mean, they used to run ads all the time. And I'm actually kind of excited about this. I've played with the Zune. I liked the hardware. I just couldn't use it on my Mac.
You're going to love Microsoft Phone Sync for Mac, coming by the end of 2010.
And then soon, Internet Explorer will show up. Yes. Then Windows Media Player. Once again, it'll be like 1997 all over again.
If you have a Zune and you want to sync to your Mac, you can do it in Boot Camp. You can do it in virtualization. You could use something free like OpenBox, although you have to buy Windows. Or you can get Crossover. Crossover for Mac's pretty cheap. I think it's around $20, $30. And it allows you to emulate Windows programs without running a full... Because it's based on Wine. You don't have to run a full nifty virtualization.
It's pretty, but a native app is so much better.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying if you wanted to do it right now.
Didn't
want to wait.
It's too much work.
Something you're not wanting to do right now is apparently buy a 3D TV.
Nope.
There's a projection out. Who's this from? Paul Gray, director of TV Electronics Research, noted that while TV manufacturers have bold plans, not that many people are jumping on the 3D TV bandwagon. What was it? 9% of TVs shipped in 2010?
I don't know.
Something like that. It's low.
It's low. It's
oh,
very
I'm sorry.
Low.
Less than 2% of all flat panels shipped in 2010 are 3D TVs, but they expect it to ramp up.
Well, yeah, that's probably because all TVs will have 3D eventually in them, just like all TVs now are probably HD. It's very rare to find an SD television out there. And what I found very interesting is in Western Europe, they found out that the ratio of glasses to 3D TVs are less than 1-to-1, which means people are getting these 3D TVs and not watching 3D content. I mean, that's another issue in this whole puzzle, is that there's really not a lot of content out there. And it's still, you got to put on glasses. That's another hurdle. So I don't know if this is a good sign for 3D the way it is.
Well, it seems to me the type of thing, like you were saying, Ayaz, that, you know, it's going to take some ramp up time. It's going to be involved no matter what in the TV, in the next TV that you're probably going to buy. But the whole glasses thing, if that's an extra large cost in addition to that, yeah, that'll sway you.
And I, as you pointed
kind of like
out,
HD content
in this study that in Western Europe, the 3D glasses failed to hit the 1-to-1 ratio to 3D TVs sold, which means lots of people are buying 3D TVs and not buying glasses.
Yeah,
and
they're not buying them to be 3D TVs. They're just buying them and they happen to have it, which lends even more credence to that kind of theory.
My favorite part of that quote was Paul Gray says a healthy ratio would be 2-to-1. It's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you'd want, you know, two people sitting at a house watching 3D TV because the viewing angles are so poor. 2-to-1 is probably the magic number there. But yeah, because the other thing, the viewing angles are so lame.
Yeah.
So even if you had like, if the ratio was 5-to-1, you're all sitting like a single file and like in a stadium seating arrangement.
What's happening is some 3D TVs don't come with glasses. People are buying them and then just like for saying, forget it. I'll buy a 3D TV. I'll buy a 3D glass later. Maybe they're future proofing.
Yeah, right.
As I've said for a long time, 3D TVs will catch on because they will build them into every television.
Yep.
It's actually not that big of an expense that they can't afford to eventually do that. Right now, they're trying to pay for all that R&D by upping the price, and there is a significant step up, but eventually that gap will narrow. And like widgets now come on almost every large screen TV. You're going to have 3D as a part of it, and people are going to think, aren't even going to think about it. They're going to have 3D TV. They might not even know that they have it. It's just going to be built in. That's where these numbers get really big in the projections in 2013, 2014.
It's only a matter of time before Vizio has like a 5-pack of glasses with their, once the prices go down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a 6-pack with each glasses coming with a glass of beer.
I'd buy that.
Yeah, not for the glasses.
That's the only way they would sell.
Just for the delicious Vizio craft beer.
Yeah, that's right.
Intel CEO Paul Otellini says the company is going to win in the tablet marketplace.
That's kind of funny, because I didn't think they were even in the tablet marketplace right now.
They're trying. They've got that sandy bridge coming. They're going to walk that sandy bridge to success. He told reporters and analysts on a earnings call that at Intel, we're going to utilize all the assets at our disposal to win this segment. The world's best silicon process technology, the best computer architecture, and our global scale. I don't know if
little
he talks
known
like
fact,
that.
Otellini is from, he's part of the Kennedy family. He's he's kind of an offshoot cousin. They don't like talking about him because he went into tech and not politics. But right now, the major players, I think, is like Qualcomm. They make the Snapdragon processor. Apple, obviously, with their A4. And like a whole bunch of licensees do the ARM processor. So for Intel to really get in the game at all, one, they have to work with Google, I guess, for the Android tablets and maybe even the Chrome OS stuff. But their real bread and butter is Windows 7 tablets, which haven't exactly found their place. So for them to say something as bold as this, maybe they're talking about their own, you know, Mego, Moblin, Linux thing they have sitting around. Or, I mean, do you see this happening? Can they actually win something that they're so far behind in?
Yes, they can, because they're Intel, right? They can leverage that. Well, they're betting it all on Oak Trail. That's their upcoming tablet system on a chip. That's their tablet and netbook sock. And so they think between Mego, Android, and Windows, they don't care if they can get Apple to use Intel. They kind of said, like, Apple isn't using it yet, as if they could convince them. I think there's little chance of that. But, yeah, they can get manufacturers to use Oak Trail because they're Intel. And they can use that market share to leverage some deals and weasel their way into people trying it. Oak Trail just has to be really good. It has to make sense. They can get people to try it, but if it doesn't end up performing well, or the cost doesn't bear out after the early discounts run out, then it fails.
Yeah, but seriously, if somebody was really going to try to get into this, Intel is actually, you know, they have the muscle to do this. They can manage this. The fact they missed out on the whole Apple boat on this, I mean, they already had a working relationship with them with their laptops, and Apple chose to go a different route. So they probably will do well with the HPs out there and Dell eventually, and maybe even, I don't know about HTC, but I mean, to get in the tablet thing, it's almost when you got to play in the phone universe, and Intel's not really there right now, but this is the future. They're going to end up in there anyway.
Yeah. And the U.S. electrical grid is apparently so crappy, it's not that vulnerable to terrorists. this is on IO9 via Science Daily. Here's the summary. The electric grid is probably more secure than many people realize because it is so unpredictable. This, of course, makes it hard to improve its reliability, but the upside of this fact is that it would be hard for a terrorist to bring large parts of the grid down by attacking just one small part. And this, in this Chaos, an Interdisciplinary Journal of Nonlinear Science paper, they point out that a lot of the research that's been done pointing to the vulnerability of the electric grid uses network modeling that's based on a very efficient and well-designed network. And that's not what we have in the United States. We have a patched-together network that was historically just kind of thrown together higgledy-piggledy, and network modeling doesn't predict well for that. In that case, what you have to do is take out a large node, something that's actually very big, and then that causes a network failure. You can't just take out a substation and bring things down like some of these models have said.
Yeah, so don't bother planning your systems. That's crazy. You're going to get knocked out if you actually have a planned, orderly system. I mean, this is an actual model that is endorsing chaos. So, I mean, basically anarchy rules on this. Look at that.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of nice?
For once, anarchy is the best plan.
Yeah, so wait a minute. Is that...
And with that, we go to News Fuse. Starts to tear at my heart, that poor screaming person.
I might have to remove him after a while.
If you're a rich black or rich Hispanic man, you likely have made a video call on your cell phone, or so say the findings of the Pew Internet and American Life study that determined 19% of U.S. adults have made a video call or engaged in video chat on their cell phone or computer, and the most common ethnic groups in their study were wealthy black or wealthy Hispanic men. This is the first year the study has included cell phones, so we can't compare whether it's gone up or down or what.
Clearwire Corp, the bringers of WiMAX, hope to raise $2.5 to $5 billion by auctioning off a slice of the spectrum they hold the license for. Pretty much everyone you'd expect might bid on it. This could give Clearwire the money to move a little more independently from Sprint, although if Sprint bought the spectrum, it could tie Clearwire's hands later.
Yeah, because they're like, now we got all your spectrum, what are you going to do? Turns out satellite radio may not be dead. SiriusXM is growing. New subscribers tripled in the third quarter compared to last year's third quarter. Overall, SiriusXM has picked up more than 1 million users this year. I guess if you shed enough users, you can eventually have the opportunity to have a huge gain of users.
That's kind of cold. I feel for Sirius, but I mean, I thought internet radio would have killed them by now. You've heard of the Consumer Price Index. Well, here comes the Google Price Index. Using only online sources, Google Price Index will determine inflation monthly. Google admits it's supplemental to the CPI as it doesn't include much about housing or automotive sales. No word on whether Google will actually publish this data.
Microsoft is working on a technology that would allow you to switch from 3G to stationary Wi-Fi access points while you're moving, while all those annoying things are popping up on your phone saying, hey, would you like to connect to Barbara's Wi-Fi? Well, this would just do it automatically. The technology is called Whiffler, and it intelligently decides which packets to send via 3G or Wi-Fi. There's no official word if this will be part of Windows Phone 7, but could be pretty cool, especially in cities.
We're number one.
Yay!
Microsoft reports that the U.S. leads the world in the number of Windows PCs that are part of botnets with
USA.
More than 2.2 million. Powerhouse Brazil came in a distant second with 550,000. Get your act together, Brazil. But South Korea leads in the rate of infections with 14.6 out of every 100 machines enrolled in botnets.
Yeah, see, they don't have as many machines because they're a smaller nation, so they lead in rate. So we got some work to do there, but we have overall the largest number. I mean, just
install those toolbars, people.
Yeah, and how many of those are Microsoft machines?
We win.
By the way?
Would you like free Wi-Fi in your hotel room?
Sure.
Don't go Dutch. Literally, the Dutch Telecommunications Authority, OPTA, has announced that Dutch hotels must register as internet service providers, and they might have to retain data on hotel guests under European law. So if you're in a Dutch hotel, it's probably wiser to stick to the pay-per-view movies. It's more anonymous.
This is a constant, you know, fear of mine because I'm always in Dutch hotels. Apple has been granted a patent that stops you from sending or getting texts with objectionable content. The patent covers both blocking the message and the removal of objectionable content from text messages. Look for this to be used in the parental control section. Oh, yeah. The patent doesn't cover MMS messages.
Hey.
So just take some dirty pictures instead.
Right. Yeah, or write it out on a, what you want to say on a piece of paper and take a picture of that.
Yeah, whiteboard something. There you go. Yeah.
Just don't use the Wi-Fi in a Dutch hotel to send it. Robot Census is on, thanks to Carnegie Mellon. They started with the Carnegie Mellon Robot Census of 2010, found out it was so fun and successful that they have extended it worldwide. So your robot needs to be counted. Go to robotcensus.org/onlinecensus and register your robot today.
What if I have a Roomba? Does that count?
You know, I went to register my Roomba. This form is obviously designed for the serious, like, research robot. It's asking about all this programming information and what the model is called and everything. And I started to feel a little cultural bias against my little Roomba.
So that means, like, all those hardworking, you know, arms that work in Detroit putting together cars and things, they won't count? Blue-collar people?
The scubas of the world that wash your floors? The iRobot lawnmowers?
Yeah. We should really treat the robots that do all the things we don't want to do much better than this.
We need to treat them with respect or they will rise
robot
up.
Robot civil rights. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to the calendar. Big event got announced today for next week. Tuesday, October 19th, it's a Microsoft Office event.
Yeah.
Right? That's what everybody's excited about.
I'm psyched. So psyched.
It's going to be
that.
Focused on Microsoft's hosted online services, which today center around the awkwardly named Business Productivity Online Suite. Maybe it gets a new name. Also, I guess on Wednesday, Apple's going to hold some event called Back to the Mac on October 20th, and there's a lion in the picture. So I guess we see OS X Lion?
Either Liger. That or some kind of...
Ooh, maybe Liger. Yeah. Maybe it is a Liger.
They've been threatening the Liger for a long time.
I've been hoping for you since Veronica Belmont produced Buzz Out Loud. I have been campaigning for OS X Liger.
No, well, Liger will happen when they actually are virtualizing different OS X's together. So you got Lion and Tiger.
Yeah,
see,
that's
you got to wait on that.
So I have to have Lion first, which is the next one. And then,
like OS 11.
Snow Leopard came after Leopard, we can have Liger. Yeah. All right. Got to be patient. Also, tomorrow, Thursday, October 14th, the FCC will make their proposed cell phone bill shock rules. They will be put forward for public comment. So if you want the cell phone carriers to be required to notify you when you get near your limits, you might want to pay attention to that. And also, big news today, right? Twitter.com has unveiled the new Twitter for everyone.
Yeah, but the other thing is if you want to switch back and forth between the old and new one, you still can for the next couple of weeks. And then Twitter's going to throw away your safety blanket and say, new Twitter for you in a couple of weeks.
All right, on to the voicemail. 260-TNT-SHOW is the number to call, or you can email links to video like Tim in rural Wisconsin. He's becoming a regular. He called back again, or actually videoed back again with this message.
Hey, TNT, it's Tim in rural Wisconsin responding to you playing my comments on yesterday's show, Monday's show. I am sticking with DirecTV because being a loyal customer, they threw so many offers at me that I couldn't say no. And I just wanted to recommend that to any of your watchers and or listeners. If you've had TNT and you're not in a contract, not TNT, your TNT, if you've had DirecTV and you're not in any kind of contract, please make sure and call and threaten to cancel because they are great at giving you deals. And that leads to my second comment, which is now that I'm not going to get the Google TV device for sure. Where does that leave me? You know, Apple TV, Roku, BoxyBox, no one knows what I'm talking about. You're my only tech friends out there. Who's going to help me solve this problem? I don't know what to get. I need something. Do I need something? I don't know if I need anything. I want something.
Tim. What you need is a traffic court lawyer after that, sending that video, mister.
We have evidence.
But to his question, I would say the Logitech review would work with a DirecTV box quite nicely if you wanted the Google TV. But I don't know. I asked, what do you think? Should he just hold off altogether right now?
Okay. If he's watching this show and he understands how to get podcasts and things, I highly suggest just hooking up a computer. flat out, it'll do everything you want.
Now, are you of the Mac Mini camp, or do you say go with a Windows Media Center machine?
I like Media Center a lot because of its 10-foot interface. I think Front Row is absolute garbage. It doesn't have a DVR. You need to keep adding in software for that. So if you're going to do this kind of stuff and you want to look up online content, I mean, be prepared to use a keyboard and mouse in your living room. But I really suggest Media Center PCs. I really like them.
All right, let's move on to our email, tnt@twit.tv. Matt wrote in and said, okay, TNT crew, I know you like to make fun of the term opposing force, which they're using in Call of Duty instead of Taliban. However, this is a very common term in the military from Wikipedia. An opposing force, abbreviated OPFOR, or enemy force, is a military unit tasked with representing an enemy, usually for training purposes in war game scenarios. Matt goes on to say, the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment at the National Training Center in California has the full-time job of being OPFOR for all units who go to NTC to train, as well as other units at training sites in LA and Germany. So yes, it is sad they changed the name, and while the term opposing force is an odd term to the world, to the military, OPFOR is simply who you fight in training, which I'd imagine why this term was used. So that makes sense, Matt, although I wonder how the guys in the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment feel now that they've been singled out. I guess they haven't been singled out, because it's...
You gotta bake them some cookies. They'll feel better. Don't worry about it.
It's just OPFOR. It's not all OPFORs. It's an OPFOR.
So moving on, hey TNT crew, welcoming the addition of the Sony TV and Blu-ray player with Google TV.
Oh, I said Call of Duty. Everybody's calling me. It's Medal of Honor. My fault. Medal of Honor, not Call of Duty. Don't
Medal
email
of
me.
Honor.
Okay,
it's too late.
There we go.
Sorry, I shall continue. Carry on.
I can't help but wonder what those people that already have a TV and Blu-ray player will do. I have a PS3 that I use to play video games and online content. Why can't Sony add Google TV as a software update to the PS3, since Google and Sony are already partners? That would definitely be a nice selling point for the PS3. Here's my 2 cents. CJ from Panama. I actually found out the answer to this. It turns out the Google spec for Google TV requires the boxes to have HDMI ins. So I think that's for the DVR functionality. And that is why a PS3 cannot be a Google TV just yet.
No HDMI in.
Right. That's the big sticking point right now.
Okay.
Unless they change that requirement.
But that's why you can get the Logitech box and use it with your DirecTV DVR, because it can do IR Blaster, right? And control it.
The weird thing is that, I mean, it's Google spec. I mean, they can change it if they wanted to.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's artificial.
All right, I got the last email. I'll go ahead and take this camera. Hi, TNT gang. This is Mark from St. Paul, Minnesota. In episode 94, Becky and Tom discussed Amazon.com's new Kindle singles. Tom quoted from the original press release, which emphasized non-fictional genres such as essay writing and scientific articles. However, what about fiction? The first and most obvious thought that came to mind was the short story. But could the Kindle single resurrect the popularity of the serialized novel, a favorite form of 19th century English literature written by such luminaries as Charles Dickens? Plus Echange, I hope I said that correctly. Continued success to Becky Boom Boom Worley and Tom the Tom Merritt.
That's why they call me the Tom.
The Tom.
What do you think? 19th century serialized novels delivered in a 21st century manner.
I like it.
I'm thinking maybe micropayments for choose your own adventure books.
Yes.
Oh,
that's what this you're is talking about. My language
Kindle
now.
Kindle singles.
That's
did you want
brilliant.
To pay for that?
Yeah.
There you go.
25 cents to get started, and then and then different paths could be more expensive.
It's like, because you wrote a lot more for that one other path, right?
If you stand and face the monster, it's 50 cents. If you run, it's 75 cents.
It's cheaper to fight the monster.
It's cheaper to stay and fight, but it's more dangerous. There's a whole
There we go. We just created a new right thing for Kindle singles.
All right, Ayaz, thank you so much for persevering through power outages and darkness and storms and whatever else be on the
I'd
show.
I'd like to thank the rest of the internet community for not being available. So that's why I was still on the show. But seriously, thanks guys. I appreciated dealing with all my power outages using an iPhone and all kinds of weird things. And this was not Verizon's fault.
No,
so,
it was Con Ed's.
And you can find me at thisoldnerd.com.
Check it out, folks. We got to go. But thanks, everybody, for watching. Twit.tv/TNT is where our show is. And that's where you can link to the wiki with the show notes. TNT@twit.tv is the email address if you'd like to write us a missive or a note or a
comment.
Or
a nonfiction article.
Or a small serialized novel. And you can also give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Cute.
Ah, welcome.
It's a little Ayaz.
There's Aldrin Akhtar on right there. He loves the snowball microphone.
All right. Aldrin, what should we call this show?
Could not have said it better myself.
That was awesome.
I did not plan that.
I think he said something under his breath there.
Is Aldrin allergic to microphones?
Maybe the pop filter's dusty.
That was fantastic.